Peter Tuz, the president of Chase Investment Counsel, is here. It's time to talk stocks now on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of Money Life where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines what they're buying and selling, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they're putting it all together. We find out what they like or dislike. We find out how they feel about some of your favorite picks, and we put it all together in a nice, neat package that helps you understand a little bit better how you want to manage your money. My guest today is Peter Tuz, president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund. That's C-H-A-S-X, which is an all-cap growth fund. If you want to learn more, chaseinv.com. Peter Tuz, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Good morning, Chuck. It's a pleasure speaking with you again.
We always start with methodology. At Chase, you are dedicated to what you do, so explain what it is to the rest of us.
Yeah, sure, Chuck. Unlike many money managers, we use a combination of both fundamental and technical indicators in both picking stocks to own and deciding which stocks to sell. And the fundamental indicators are things like earnings growth and revision, high ROE, pretty traditional measures. The technical indicators that we pay a lot of attention to are momentum-based. We look at a stock's action relative to its industry and the market as a whole. We look at both the 50 and 200-day moving averages. We are trying to identify stocks that are not only strong fundamentally, but look like they're going to have a upward move technically as well. In deciding to sell stocks, much of the reverse is true. We watch declining fundamentals, and we watch declining technicals quite a bit.
When you talk about declining fundamentals and declining technicals, do you want to see them in sync? Do you ever let a company with solid fundamentals, but a short-term technical problem, blip, whatever we want to call it, do you ever wind up moving based on short-term technicals out?
So on the buy part of the process, Chuck, we probably weigh fundamentals a bit more than technicals because sometimes the technicals lag fundamentals if we see signs of upwards earnings revisions, et cetera. On the sell part of the equation, generally the technicals lead the fundamentals down. It's uncanny to me in my 25 years of doing this how often you see, a company with strong earnings growth and people are saying it's in great shape, yet you see the stocks start to decline, through the 50-day moving average, through the 200-day moving average. And then, at the next earnings report, you see, by the way, we don't think the upcoming quarter is looking as good as it looked to us 6 months ago. So on the sell side of the process, generally the technicals are weighted a little more heavily than the fundamentals.
And in the interim, it sounds like a divergence, that period where the fundamentals and the technicals disagree, it sounds like there's opportunity on the upside, or there's caution and concern on the downside when you get that divergence.
Without getting into too much detail, a perfect score for a Chase stock is 6-0. A terrible score is 0-6. When you get in the middle there, I kind of liken it to traffic lights. If everything's green, you're okay. If everything's red, you shouldn't be in it. But when it turns yellow, it's a worrying sign for us. And quite often, if we own the stock, we'll trim it back just on that by itself. If we're looking at something to buy and it's yellow technically, we'll probably hold off until we get a little clearer picture of it.
In terms of the picture that the market is giving you right now, I mean, we've got a market that has returned roughly to record high levels. We've got plenty of fundamental concerns, though they seem to have been pushed off a little bit in terms of inflation and rising interest rates. And of course, everything continuing with the pandemic. But where are you in terms of how good this market is, both from a technical and fundamental standpoint? Are there plenty of things out there to like right now, or is the sideways choppiness and some of the volatility we've seen a little more telling?
There are both, very positive signs with the market, and yet there are some kind of things to worry about as well. The positives, both fundamentally and technically, earnings in the second quarter were basically astounding for most of the companies out there. Record profits all across the board, higher profit margins. You know, of course, you're comparing it with a horrible quarter a year ago. But earnings were astounding, and estimates for the market have jumped considerably. They've jumped for the S&P 500 from about 180 per share to over $200 for 2021 right now. So the market's estimated earnings have gone up. On top of that, the technicals, you know, liquidity in the market, momentum in the market, still are pushing it up. You have to be cognizant of two things. Historically, the market is expensive compared to its range, 20-plus earnings when 16, 17 is normal. Yet you have very low interest rates right now still, even though they backed up a bit. So maybe you deserve a higher multiple. And, you know, ultimately, the Fed is going to do something to, you know, raise interest rates, slow down the growth of the economy somewhat. And if not done with a kid glove, we could be in for choppy to down markets for the rest of the year. But right now, it's still a kind of, there's no place I'd rather be than in equity markets right now.
So there's no place you'd rather be in equity markets. What's the name of a company or two that maybe there's no better place for putting your money right now?
Our three recent purchases, Chuck, were Carlyle Company, Molina Healthcare, a mid-cap stock, and then Leggett and Platt, an income stock. Carlyle is basically a diversified manufacturer of construction materials. Obviously, the construction industry has been booming lately. Their earnings ought to jump to about $9 a share from about $6 a share last year, and then go up another 15% in 2022. Stocks trading at a market multiple with about a 1% dividend yield. We just think it's got a good year or two ahead of it. It's a company with a market cap of about $10 billion. CSL is the symbol. Molina Healthcare has a market cap of about $15 billion. That's one of the largest healthcare insurance companies to those on government assistance. Basically, it manages a lot of Medicare, Medicaid, and other governmental programs in a lot of states throughout the country. Again, earnings growth, this year's earnings ought to be about 13.25, up from 12 or so last year, ought to be up to 16 in 2022, which is a pretty big jump. High ROE company, 30% ROE, buying stock back. On a fairly consistent basis, selling for about 19 times earnings in an expensive market. And lastly, for those of our clients who need income, we bought one of the dividend aristocrats, Leggett and Platt. LEG is its symbol, a $7 billion company that makes components that go into bedding, furniture, auto seats, airplane seats, and the like. Their business was down considerably in 2020, but is bouncing back pretty well in 2021 and should bounce back even more in 2022. We've all read about shortages of things like foam for auto seats and furniture, and that is impacting Leggett and Platt this year. But, you know, now we're focusing on what kind of earnings growth a company could have in 2022. We don't want to see a company stall after having a great 2021. Leggett and Platt, again, ought to have earnings of about $3 next year, selling for a little under 20 times earnings, a little under 18 times earnings with about a 3% dividend yield. Very safe company, has raised its dividend for 50 consecutive years.
What's something you've had to move away from? What's something that the fundamentals and technicals just can't support right now?
Our latest sales, Chuck, included FedEx, Oshkosh Corp, and Quanta Services. FedEx, okay, subsequent to UPS reporting its quarterly number, which was great, in their conference call, UPS said, you know, we're having real trouble finding labor. And by the way, we're seeing cost pressures in other parts of our business. And what moves UPS also moves FedEx. That was purely a technical sale. Oshkosh Corp makes military vehicles, among other things, just again announced a quarter that was good, but said that cost pressures are really going to affect the next quarter. That was So we've lightened up on that. And lastly, Quanta Services, an infrastructure company, again, just didn't have the kind of earnings quality that we were hoping for. I would call both Quanta and Oshkosh a sell based on guidance that came after second quarter earnings, where FedEx was more, you know, its main competitor was reporting things we didn't like to see, so we sold some FedEx as well.
Well, now we're going to get your take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
This is the most exciting thing to ever happen in the history of history.
Well, I hope you find it that exciting as we get to Quick and Dirty with Peter Tuz, the president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX, the ticker. Learn more at chaseinv.com. We start today with three requests from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first is for Mid-America Apartment Communities. That is MAA.
Mid-America Apartment Communities, Chuck, was the first apartment real estate investment trust I started covering as an analyst sometime around 1990. So it is a great undiscovered company. The stock is overvalued right now. It is a hold to a sell. It's a REITs usually, you know, for me, a REIT is attractive if it has a dividend yield of about, I'm going to say 4% or so. Mid-America's right now is about 2.2%, and it's trading for about 30 times earnings. So if somebody's owned it for a long time, I would ring the bell on that one.
It's a sell.
And now for the profit taking.
On MAA, Mid-America Apartment Communities. Richard's next request, People's United Financial, PBCT.
People's United is a very well-run bank in the Connecticut region. I think it's based in Bridgeport. But People's United is in the process of being acquired by a Buffalo, New York bank. MTB is the symbol, M&T Bank Corp, which is also a very well-run bank. So if you own People's now, you really, I don't know when the transaction's expected to close, you're going to get your People's stock converted into MTB stock, which I would do, because MTB is a very well-run company. And banks in general are still one of the more attractive parts of the market to me, especially if we see interest rates continue to move up, as they have in at least since the start of this week. So I wouldn't buy People's right now, because you might as well buy MTB, but I would hold People's and then take the MTB once it's given to me.
So it is a hold, again, with that caveat that the merger is going through, on PBCT, People's United Financial.
I don't want people dumping their shares.
But you would then be getting into and either holding or buying MTB.
Right. Money in the bank.
Richard's last request today, Northrop Grumman, ticker NOC.
Yeah, I'm pretty bullish on the defense industry as a whole right now, Chuck. I think we're kind of in a more dangerous world for lots of reasons going forward. And the defense industry basically has been fairly weak since the presidential election last year. There's always a fear that the Democrats will cut the defense budget, so the stocks tend to sell off. But that rarely happens. It might not grow as fast as it would under a Republican administration. But, you know, all the defense companies are selling for about 15 times earnings right now in a market north of 20. And I just think they will surprise on the upside as we see a more dangerous world going forward. They're really incredible technology companies in lots of ways as well.
So
it's a buy.
Defense contractor. You know,
this stock is blowing up right now.
Well, a lot of things could be blowing up. The stock in this case was a buy on Northrop Grumman, NOC. Our next request comes from Pete in Seattle and Dave in Beaver Dams, New York. Both want to know about Johnson & Johnson, J&J. And oh, by the way, it's in my portfolio too.
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson is, to me, nearly a perennial buy. You pick your spots when it dips a little, but you're talking about a company with a stellar record of both earnings growth, dividend growth, and I think it's one of the few AAA credits out there. If I had to make a risk-free investment, well, risk light investment, and I had a choice between Johnson & Johnson or a 10-year U.S. Treasury bond, I'd take Johnson & Johnson right now, because you're getting a 2.5% dividend yield versus a 1.3% interest rate on that 10-year bond. And in 10 years, you'd get your $1,000 back on the bond, where I'm pretty sure Johnson & Johnson's earnings growth will be substantial. And no matter what the market does between now and 10 years from now, Johnson & Johnson will be higher.
It's a buy on J&J, Johnson & Johnson.
Sounds like the opportunity of a lifetime.
And last, for Mike in Redwood City, California, Corning, ticker GLW.
Yeah, Corning's an interesting company. Basically, its two main product lines are screens and then fiber optic cables. The screen business is very, very competitive, but the fiber optic cable business is growing quite substantially because as the world moves to 5G, 5G requires, in addition to a lot of wireless capacity, a lot of fiber optic capacity as well. So Corning has a good runway in front of it. And I see that the stock is probably a little around 20 times earnings, 2.4% yield. I think compared to many things out there in the market, Corning's probably a buy as well.
So we finish on a high note as Corning, ticker GLW, was a buy.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Yeah.
And now there's just one more goodbye for us to discuss. That's the one where we say our goodbye to Peter Tuz. But Peter, always great to chat with you. Thanks for coming back so often. I'm already looking forward to our next talk.
Thank you, Chuck. I am too.
Peter Tuz, he's the president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of Chase Growth Fund, CHASX. Learn more at chaseinv.com. We'll be back to tell you where he agreed or disagreed with some recent guests and wrap things up right after this message.